May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 1033. In Jesus combine all the riches of grace. What glory and grandeur I see in his face. Jehovah's eternal and co-equal Son took all our transgressions and made them his own. Hymn 1033.
Thank you.
Our reading is from the prophecy of Jeremiah, chapter 32. The prophecy of Jeremiah, chapter 32. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord in the 10th year of Zedekiah, king of Judah, which was the 18th year of Nebuchadrezzar. For then the king of Babylon's army besieged Jerusalem, and Jeremiah the prophet was shut up in the court of the prison, which was in the king of Judah's house. For Zedekiah, king of Judah, had shut him up, saying, "Wherefore dost thou prophesy and say, Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will give this city into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he shall take it. And Zedekiah, king of Judah, shall not escape out of the hand of the Chaldeans, but shall surely be delivered into the hand of the king of Babylon, and shall speak with him mouth to mouth, and his eyes shall behold his eyes. And he shall lead Zedekiah to Babylon, and there shall he be, until I visit him, saith the Lord. Though ye fight with the Chaldeans, ye shall not prosper." And Jeremiah said, "The word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Behold, Hanameel the son of Shallum, thine uncle, shall come unto thee, saying, Buy thee my field that is in Anathoth, for the right of redemption is thine to buy it. So Hanameel, mine uncle's son, came to me in the court of the prison, according to the word of the Lord, and said unto me, Buy my field, I pray thee, that is in Anathoth, which is in the country of Benjamin, for the right of inheritance is thine, and the redemption is thine. Buy it for thyself." Then I knew that this was the word of the Lord. And I bought the field of Hanameel, my uncle's son, that was in Anathoth, and weighed him the money, even 17 shekels of silver. And I subscribed the evidence and sealed it, and took witnesses, and weighed him the money in the balances. So I took the evidence of the purchase, both that which was sealed according to the law and custom, and that which was open. And I gave the evidence of the purchase unto Baruch the son of Neriah, the son of Maaseiah, in the sight of Hanameel, mine uncle's son, and in the presence of the witnesses that subscribed the book of the purchase, before all the Jews that sat in the court of the prison. And I charged Baruch before them, saying, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, take these evidences, this evidence of the purchase, both which is sealed, and this evidence which is open, and put them in an earthen vessel, that they may continue many days. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, houses and fields and vineyards shall be possessed again in this land." Now when I had delivered the evidence of the purchase unto Baruch the son of Neriah, I prayed unto the Lord, saying, "Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. Thou showest loving kindness unto thousands, and recompensest the iniquity of the fathers into the bosom of their children after them. The great, the mighty God, the Lord of hosts is his name, great in counsel and mighty in work. For thine eyes are open upon all the ways of the sons of men, to give every one according to his ways, and according to the fruit of his doings, which has set signs and wonders in the land of Egypt, even unto this day, and in Israel, and among other men, and has made thee a name, as at this day, and has brought forth thy people Israel out of the land of Egypt, with signs and with wonders, and with a strong hand, and with a stretched out arm, and with great terror, and hast given them this land, which thou didst swear to their fathers to give them, a land flowing with milk and honey. And they came in and possessed it, but they obeyed not thy voice, neither walked in thy law. They have done nothing of all that thou commandedst them to do. Therefore thou hast caused all this evil to come upon them. Behold the mounts, they are come unto the city to take it. And the city is given into the hand of the Chaldeans that fight against it, because of the sword, and of the famine, and of the pestilence. And what thou hast spoken is come to pass, and behold, thou seest it. And thou hast said unto me, O Lord God, buy thee the field for money, and take witnesses, for the city is given into the hand of the Chaldeans. Then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah, saying, Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Therefore thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will give this city into the hand of the Chaldeans, and into the hand of Nebuchadrezzar, king of Babylon, and he shall take it. And the Chaldeans that fight against this city shall come and set fire on this city, and burn it with the houses upon whose roofs they have offered incense unto Baal, and poured out drink offerings unto other gods, to provoke me to anger. For the children of Israel and the children of Judah have only done evil before me from their youth. For the children of Israel have only provoked me to anger with the work of their hands, saith the Lord. For this city hath been to me as a provocation of mine anger and of my fury from the day that they built it, even unto this day, that I should remove it from before my face, because of all the evil of the children of Israel and of the children of Judah, which they have done to provoke me to anger, they, their kings, their princes, their priests and their prophets, and the men of Judah, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And they have turned unto me the back and not the face, though I taught them, rising up early and teaching them, yet they have not hearkened to receive instruction. But they set their abominations in the house which is called by my name, to defile it. And they built the high places of Baal, which are in the valley of the son of Hinnom, to cause their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire unto Molech, which I commanded them not, neither came it into my mind that they should do this abomination to cause Judah to sin. And now therefore thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning this city, whereof ye say, It shall be delivered into the hand of the king of Babylon, by the sword, and by the famine, and by the pestilence. Behold, I will gather them out of all countries whither I have driven them in mine anger and in my fury and in great wrath, and I will bring them again unto this place, and I will cause them to dwell safely, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God, and I will give them one heart and one way, that they may fear me for ever, for the good of them and of their children after them. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them, that I will not turn away from them to do them good, but I will put my fear in their hearts, that they shall not depart from me. Yea, I will rejoice over them to do them good, and I will plant them in this land assuredly with my whole heart and with my whole soul. For thus saith the Lord, like as I have brought all this great evil upon this people, so will I bring upon them all the good that I have promised them. And fields shall be bought in this land, whereof ye say it is desolate, without man or beast, it is given into the hand of the Chaldeans. Men shall buy fields for money, and subscribe evidences, and seal them, and take witnesses in the land of Benjamin, and in the places about Jerusalem, and in the cities of Judah, and in the cities of the mountains, and in the cities of the valley, and in the cities of the south. For I will cause their captivity to return, saith the Lord. Amen. May the Lord bless his word to us and help Benji to pray.
O Lord, do come now and be our help. For Lord, what can we do without thee? Oh, how we need thee to come and grant the help of thy Holy Spirit to truly call upon thy name with that honest heart, to come with that true humility, that contrite spirit, to confess our sins. Oh, to seek that true repentance, that which is a gift from thee. Lord, we cannot give ourselves it, but oh, that thou wilt come, apply thy word with power, draw us by thy Holy Spirit, O Lord, and bring us to know thee. For thou art that high and lofty one, yet, Lord, we're poor, wretched, undone sinners. How can we approach unto thee? Oh, that thou wilt come then and put that true living faith in our hearts, that we might come unto thee through thy blood, that blood which thou hast spilt for sinners. And, O Lord, that we each here this night might truly know that we are sinners in thy sight. O Lord, for we sing sometimes, a sinner is a sacred thing. O Lord, that thou hast shown us our sinnership, thou hast shown us our need of a Redeemer, a Saviour. O, do quicken our souls into life, do draw us by thy power into the knowledge of these things. For, Lord, thy mercy is our only hope. O, that thou wilt come, pardon our iniquities, forgive us our sins, O Lord, and cleanse us by thy blood. O, draw us then, Lord, and bring us to know thee, for there is but one thing needful. O, may we each know it, and may we each be enabled to keep those things of time in their right place. Lord, we need thee here below. We need thee to provide for us. And, Lord, we desire to remember thy many mercies to us each. Thou hast brought us each through even to this present time. And Lord, we pray that thou wilt open our eyes, that we each might see all the way that thou hast brought us, all that thou hast done for us, both in the things of time, and, O Lord, can we say, in those things for an eternity to come, those things of grace concerning our never-dying souls. O Lord, do help us each then to lift up our eyes unto thee and seek to know our interest in these things. Lord, do remember us for good and grant us a true blessing. Oh, that blessing that we read of this morning, to be able to say, it is well. Oh, Lord, what a mercy. What a blessing. Oh, do help us each. Bring us each into that secret, to know these things, that which alone will prepare us for eternity. Lord, do remember then, and grant us each a blessing indeed. O Lord, we do pray for each one gathered here this night. Thou knowest the various needs, the trying and difficult things even in time. And Lord, we have read that nothing is too hard for thee. Lord, how we need thee to give us that faith to believe it. For Lord, we cannot of ourselves. We turn another way, but oh, that we might be enabled to bring all things unto thee and to seek thy mercy, to seek thy direction, to seek thy help. Lord, do remember each one here then, and we pray that these trials and difficulties might be truly sanctified for our eternal good. O Lord, that we might be enabled to rejoice in thee and thy salvation. O Lord, have mercy then upon us. Lord, we have not one of thy servants with us this day. And Lord, but we pray that thy presence might be known, that thou wilt use thy word, that thou wilt use those things we sing, those things we read, those things preached in times past, that thou wilt cause them to enter into our souls and do us good, that we might be truly enabled to rejoice in thy word, and that there might be that honour and glory redound unto thee, to the praise of thy great and holy name. Lord, remember us for good. And Lord, we pray for thy servant that we had expected here this day. We pray that thou wilt help him where he is, in his affliction and old age. O Lord, grant him that word, in season to his soul, to help, to support, and help him in all his responsibilities where he is. O Lord, we need thee to do these things for us. And we pray that thou wilt remember each of thy servants as they come here week by week, that they might truly be thy servants, thy messengers in thy message, that thou wilt give them the word to bring, and that thou wilt use it, that it might meet the various cases and needs week by week. For, O Lord, we need thee. We can do nothing without thee. And, Lord, we pray that thou wilt remember thy servant just sent out into the ministry, that thou wilt help him even this night. O Lord, as he stands up before the people for the first time, be with him where he is and help him and strengthen him. O Lord, remember us each then. O Lord, remember the various cases here. O Lord, we desire a thankful heart that thou hast brought forth another little one into our midst. O Lord, do enable us to return thanks unto thee for these mercies. And we pray for each one brought into thy house week by week. O Lord, do remember them in mercy and raise them up to truly know thee, to possess thy fear and to look to thee. O Lord, and remember those due to be married shortly. O Lord, do grant thy blessing upon it and do be their helper in the days ahead. For Lord, we none of us know what lays before us. But O Lord, do grant us that faith to look to thee and to trust in thee, knowing what thou hast done, how thou hast helped us each hitherto, provided for us and brought us through. O do come and grant a true increase in our faith to believe on thee. O Lord, do go before us now in this service. Help our brother, Lord, thou hast brought him back in peace and safety, and we would acknowledge these things before thee. Help him now to read those things preached in time past, and use them, Lord, this night. Send them home. Oh, that there might be that rejoicing in the hearts of sinners in thy word, even at the close of this day. That there might be that praise to thee, that honour and glory to thy great and holy name. Lord, remember us, dear, be merciful to us, and forgive us each all our sins. And Lord, we would remember our country. O Lord, we have read even this night of thy judgments upon Israel of old, and yet, Lord, thou didst show mercy and cause them to return. Oh, we desire then to confess the evils and the wickedness that abound in this nation. And Lord, we pray that in wrath thou wilt remember mercy, that thou wilt cause a returning unto thee. Lord, it is only by thy power. But once more, we read nothing is too hard for thee. Help us then to truly plead with thee for it. Remember us now. Forgive us each all our sins for thy great name's sake. Amen.
Hymn number 1000. Ye tempted and tried, to Jesus draw nigh. He suffered and died, your wants to supply. Trust him for salvation, you need not to grieve. There's no condemnation to them that believe. Hymn number 1000.
Thank you. read you a sermon preached by Mr. Jesse Devils. You will find the words of the text in the chapter we read, the prophecy of Jeremiah, chapter 32 and verse 27. Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 27. Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? This chapter, together with some other chapters, relates to the captivity of the children of Israel and confirms it. God speaks very solemnly of the persistence of the people in their idolatry and wickedness, notwithstanding the many warnings they had received. Here in verse 33, the Lord says, they have turned unto me the back, and not the face, though I taught them, rising up early and teaching them. Yet they have not hearkened to receive instruction. Therefore the Lord confirms his judgments upon them, and would have them to know that it is an evil thing and bitter to sin against God, and to persist in a course of wickedness. Truly they did suffer for their abominations by having to go into captivity for a long period. At the same time, the latter part of the chapter has some very gracious confirming promises of ultimate restoration. God declares, behold, I will gather them out of all countries, whither I have driven them in my anger and in my fury and in great wrath. And I will bring them again unto this place, and I will cause them to dwell safely. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God. And I will give them one heart and one way, that they may fear me forever, for the good of them and of their children after them. To confirm this, we find the prophet Jeremiah making the purchase of a field. It may appear to have been very ill-timed to do this, when at the same time he was confirming by the words of the Lord their captivity. But this was done as practical evidence of his faith and confidence in the words of the Lord, that they would surely return and again inhabit the land and have their possessions as before. So we see here, when Jeremiah had delivered the evidence of the purchase unto Baruch the son of Neriah, he prayed unto the Lord, saying, Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power, and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. He appears to have had a wonderful view of God's almighty power in the face of seeming impossibilities. And indeed, there were no impossibilities actually, because of the word of the Lord to him. So that though it may have appeared to be such folly to buy Hananeel's field at such a time as this, yet he did it as a practical demonstration that God would surely fulfill his own promise and restore the people to their own land. We find the Lord speaking here to Jeremiah in verses 26 and 27. Then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah, saying, Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? It is true, he is the God of all flesh, although all are not his people in a covenant sense. He is the God of all flesh, in that he is Almighty God, and has made heaven and earth, and controls all things. Has everything been beneath his sovereign, immutable power, so that there is nothing he cannot do. As to nations, empires, and kingdoms, all flesh, however many, however mighty, all are under his power and at his sovereign disposal. So it can be confirming to see that though God affirmed the captivity, speaking through his servant Jeremiah, that this should surely come to pass because of their abominations and their persistence in them, yet still he does with equal certainty affirm their return. As though he would say, as to this matter, is there anything too hard for me? Is this too hard for me to take this people and send them into captivity under solemn judgment for their sin? Is it too hard for me, in my appointed time, to deliver and bring them back and establish them in their own land? I am God of all flesh. So it can be confirming to us to see he is the God of all flesh. That is, he is the God of all people, to do with them as he will. So when the appointed time came, he put it into the heart of Cyrus to give liberty to these captive Jews to go to their own country, and also to make a way for them and bring them through what appeared to be insurmountable difficulties. I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? This may be confirming that the children of God can feel that God has control over all men. They may not be his people, but he has power over them. He is the God of all flesh, and he can turn their mind and heart into whichever way he will, whatever channel he will, use them as instruments, make them willing to fulfill his own purposes. Though they know him not, have no love to him, no care for him, no knowledge of him, he can use them and does use them as instruments to fulfill his purposes. Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Jeremiah, as I have hinted, could believe this in his appeal to God, saying, Thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. Jeremiah believed it. And there are times with the Lord's people when they believe it. This is not designed to warrant any abuse of divine omnipotence in that sense, in our minds or by our actions, but is designed to confirm the Lord's exercised people that however great their difficulties may appear, they are not too hard for their God. I am the God of all flesh. He is the God of all our enemies. He can do with them as he will. I am the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? As to this challenge, it is not the only place in the scripture where the Lord has challenged men. It was so in the case of Abraham and Sarah. When the Lord came to Abraham on that particular day in the plains of Mamre and informed him that Sarah should have a son, Sarah laughed. A laugh of unbelief and incredulity, not assuming it to be a possible thing. But the Lord said to Abraham, "Is anything too hard for the Lord?" Although this was indeed an impossibility according to the ordinary course of nature, yet the purpose of God was to show that he was above all, and that even such a matter was not too hard for him, as events prove. Is anything too hard for the Lord? When we can consider this, we have to make our own confessions that there are many things too hard for us. We are in this aspect dependent creatures and have not that power to do things except it please the Lord to give it to us. Many things are too hard for us. We have to prove in our failures at times. We have to prove that we cannot do things in our own strength or as independent of this God. When we attempt to, we often have to suffer in consequence. But God has many times declared he will be the helper of his people, that he will not fail them in their time of need or leave them in their distresses, but will perform his word and promise concerning them, and he will always be as good as his word. You may look at some things in your life, or the future, or matters that may be pending or weighing upon your spirit, and say, "It overwhelms me. It is too much for me. It is more than I can carry." Or, "I have not the grace to walk in this or that trial, or to continue in this path." But if you have grace to take your matter to God, whatever it may be, and lay it before him in the boldness of faith, bring his own challenge, as it were, to him, opening your mouth wide, you may know that nothing is too hard for him. His divine attributes and perfections are firmness. He is Almighty God, and this being so, nothing can be too hard for him. There is only one thing in Scripture of which it is said God cannot do it, and that is mentioned by Paul to Titus, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. That is not to suggest a limitation in relation to his power, but to show that he will never do anything which is not in strict accordance with his glorious attributes and perfections. He is essentially almighty. He must be this in order to be God. Nothing is too hard for him. The point appears to be to confirm his people's faith and confidence. And that faith and confidence can only be confirmed when we turn our eyes away from our difficulties to divine omnipotence in Christ and find a standing there for our faith. Oh, it is very blessed when we are helped to do this. There is something real in it to an exercised person. It can cover everything in your life. It can take in any enemy. It can overcome any difficulty. Can remove any seeming impossibility. Because nothing is too hard for him. Is it not a wonderful thing for God to challenge in this way? It is his own word to his servant Jeremiah. And it is his own word to us. I am the God of all flesh, however great or mighty. Is anything too hard for me? Oh, has there ever been a time with you when you have felt in prayer in your heart that you could plead divine omnipotence, realizing you had no hope beside it? When you get hold of God, I say when you can, then nothing is too hard for you in this sense, or too bad, or too difficult. No, because faith sees God above the enemy, above the difficulty, or whatever it may be, and anchors there. It can be very, very sweet to walk in that for a few minutes. If you can get it, it can bring a wonderful relief to your spirit. It can bring a stillness there and enable you to cast your burden on him. It can bring you to this, to be willing to abide by the issues, whatever they may be, feeling them to be according to his sovereign will concerning you. Oh, this omnipotent God, these glorious, wonderful, divine perfections. Look at the 40th of Isaiah. See what the prophet is instructed to write there concerning the greatness and power of God. This God, who sitteth upon the circle of the earth, to whom the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, the nations as a drop of a bucket, and the isles as a very little thing. Who can turn the earth upside down in a moment and consume us all in a flash if he were so disposed. Have you ever felt a little humbling in your heart that this God is your God? This almighty God who said to Abraham, I am the almighty God, walk before me. And be thou perfect. Look to me. Put your trust in me. This God appeared to Jacob at Bethel and confirmed his covenant to him above the land. This almighty God, this covenant performing God, who made his covenant to Jacob there and gave him that wonderful promise. Jacob saw God there above the land, but he did not see anything above God. Neither shall we, if we can rightly view this awful attribute. It can be an awful attribute to the wicked. But when faith is brought into exercise, and we can feel just for a minute or two, that divine omnipotence is on our side, we can face anything because we see everything beneath it. And it is wonderful to see everything beneath God, to feel assured that he will bring you through. Call upon me in the day of trouble, I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things. O, these attributes, is anything too hard for him, for this immutable God, who can never change, who is the same eternally, who was from everlasting, of whom it is said in Psalm 90, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Thou art God, and there is only one God. I am God, he said, and there is none else. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. Oh, have you ever got near this God? There is only one way of approach, and that is through the blessed, all-sufficient merit of the dear Redeemer, the merit of Calvary. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father, to this immutable Almighty God. Oh, to feel that he is on our side. If God be for us, who can be against us? The world may be, a thousand foes may be, but that matters not if omnipotence is on our side. Indeed, it is a humbling consideration. Have you ever got hold of this challenge? Is there anything too hard for me? Is there anything too hard for the Lord? It was the Lord himself who said that. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Indeed, in the scriptures we have some striking instances of this almighty hand. Sometimes very solemn, delivering mercies mingled with solemn judgments. But here faith can believe and tremble. It was not too hard for him to drown the world by a mighty deluge. And it was not too hard for him to divide the waters of the Red Sea and bring his people through it to the other side. Those waters were not too hard for him to divide and make a way. Oh, how many instances we have in the scriptures, in the records of the kings, when they prayed unto God in their trouble, and he appeared for them, and smote their enemies, as in the case of Hezekiah, Jehoshaphat, Asa, and many others. Proofs are given in the scriptures as to this, that nothing is too hard for him. Not too hard for him. The fact that he may not dispose to do certain things is no criterion that things are too hard for him. His immutable sovereign will is the moving cause of all his actions. To bring this for a few moments closer home, you take your things. They may, I agree, be too hard for you. They may be too hard for me, too hard for us. But how can they be too hard for our God if he is our God? Is there anything in your soul too hard for him? Is the salvation of it too hard for him? Although it was at such tremendous, inconceivable cost, yet was that too hard for him? God, in his eternal purposes and covenant love, did appoint a people, separate them in his decree, give them to his beloved Son, who became their surety, took their nature upon him, took their place, was responsible for all their transgressions, laid down his life, shed his blood, battled and grappled with the powers of death and hell, conquered and came forth triumphant, rose from the dead and ascended into heaven. Was all that too hard for him? And was not the salvation of your soul wrapped up in that? It was, if you are his. And this can be confirming to us, for if those things were not too hard for him, how can anything else be too hard for him? If the matters that pertain to eternity are not too hard for him, how can the matters of time be too hard for him? Oh, the things that some of his people have to take to him. I mean their soul things, their soul matters. The concern, the exercise, the weight, the burden, the darkness, the bondage, the fear, the apprehension, the sin. And even to this, are your sins too hard for him? Did he not remove them by his own vicarious sacrifice? Bear them away in his own body on the tree? Is anything in your soul too hard for him in the concerns of eternity? Some of you, it may be, grope for the wall like a lion. See not your signs. Wonder where the sea would end. Feel like Daniel when he said, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? But the Lord said, leave that to me. Put your trust in me. That is my concern. I can manage that. Go thy way, Daniel. Go there thy way till the end be, for thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of the days. Oh, this wonderful God, is there anything in your souls too hard for him, the salvation of your souls? Is there anything in your body too hard for him? These infirmities, these poor, frail bodies, these weaknesses, these things that continually come upon us, mortal creatures as we are. But is there anything too hard for him? Nothing too hard for him. Nothing in your soul's need is too hard for him, and nothing in your body is too hard for him either. Has he not power to restore? When the Redeemer was upon the earth, did he not heal the blind, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, and many other things beside? But was anything too hard for him then? And is anything in your body too hard for him now? Where are you saying, I have this or that trouble and infirmity? I have prayed about it, and still there seems no evidence of any improvement. That may be. But that does not show any limitation of his power to restore, if it be according to his blessed will. But what I mean is this. You have at times had to take your soul to him, and in the language of one, as before him, say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. And you may have had to take your body to him, some of us have many times, and say, here is this poor body, this sinful, corrupt body, the seeds of death are in it, but nothing is too hard for thee. You can take your body to him, and even if it is not according to his will to heal and restore, he can give strength to bear the pain. And moreover, he can give much inward comfort and consolation, and under these infirmities, render them bearable. But even so, my point is that his people can take not only their soul, but their body to this wonderful God, this omnipotent God, and say, Lord, nothing is too hard for thee. Oh, the things we have to do with God in, the fears we have, the apprehensions that rise, and yet what a stillness, what a quietness faith can bring when it prevails, because you can see, we can see, all in his hands. Our times, circumstances, difficulties, sicknesses, weaknesses, distempers of the body, everything pertaining to body and soul, in his blessed hands for time and eternity. We know we are mortal creatures, but it is all in his hands. Is anything too hard for me? Is it too hard for him to bring your spirit into submission? Well, it can even sometimes be more profitable than having our poor prayers answered, especially when those prayers are according to the desires of nature in us. Oh, it is sweet to believe, wonderful to believe it is all in his hands, and to live in it for a few minutes, to be able to trust him, and get just a second or two of that wonderful peace that attends it. There will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Is anything too hard for me? For me? Am not I Almighty God? Is anything too hard for me? Anything in your circumstances too hard? I do not know how you may be feeling, some of you, but some of you may have some sinkings. And if we look away from him, we shall have some sinkings. But if we can come to this, lay hold of it, feel it, walk in it, we shall have a confidence that will carry us through. He will not fail. Is there anything too hard for him in your circumstances, in your future? Is there any enemy too hard for him? Any friend too hard for him? Any trial too hard for him? Can he not give you strength to walk in it? And grace to bear that cross till he shall dispose to remove it. I know it can in a way be easy to speak like this, and you may say so and say, it's very different from walking in it. I know it is, and I have no strength to walk in these things myself, and you have no strength to walk in them yourself. But if you are favoured to feel in your heart his strength, you will prove that sufficient. In the scriptures we find some coming to the Lord in their troubles and distresses, like the Syrophoenician woman saying, Lord, help me, struggling against discouraging conditions. Have you ever struggled against discouraging conditions till you have come to fall before him, live or die, saved or lost, and felt able to cast everything, yourself, soul and body, into his blessed hands for a minute or two? When that has been the case, has it not been wonderful how he has brought you through? Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will help thee, and he can too. Is anything too hard for me? Is any mountain too big? Any valley too deep? Was not this the word in the prophecy of Zechariah by the Lord unto the people in their difficulties? Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel thou shalt become a plain. Before Zerubbabel, before this God, not before our strength or our might, but before Zerubbabel, thou shalt become a plain. Were the walls of Jericho too hard for him? What wonderful ways the Lord has at work in. He could have cracked the walls of Jericho in a moment, but not so. They marched day after day, and again on the seventh day, seven times. Why all this? Because it was the Lord's purpose. So it may be in your things. Before the Lord brings deliverance, you have to keep walking round it day after day, and it is just the same. But even so, when the Lord's time came and they blew with the trumpets, the walls fell down flat and the people went over. They fell down flat. The Lord does not do things halfway. He usually takes it out of our hands. Is anything too hard for me? I know this has been a poor rambling affair, but if at the same time, if the Lord should be pleased to use a few broken, disconnected sentences, which sometimes he has done more than a well-ordered, cut-and-dried sermon, then it will be to his praise. This we are assured of. Nothing is too hard for this God. If he is our God, sometimes I believe we hope he is, then nothing is too hard for him to do for us. Nothing in life too hard, nothing in death too hard. Oh, may the Lord help us. Difficulties there will be, but all is beneath this wonderful God, and he is a wonderful God. I believe some of us could not look back without saying he has been a wonderful God to us. May the Lord help us, poor weak creatures, fearful creatures, worms as it were, so defenseless. May he be our defense, our helper, our saviour, and our God. Behold, I am the Lord. As though he was saying, listen to me. You may hear a thousand voices, but listen to this. Behold, I am the Lord.
last Lord's Day, and made £705, for which we are very thankful. God willing, there will be a prayer meeting tomorrow evening, and Mr. Pack is expected to preach on Good Friday morning at 10 o'clock. And God willing, Mr. Jensen is expected to preach next Lord's Day and administer the Lord's Supper after the evening service. Let us now close with hymn 184. Our fullness resides in Jesus our Head, and ever abides to answer our need. The Father's good pleasure has laid up in store a plentiful treasure to give to the poor. 184.
Christ.